Okay, then we go on to the next point, which is how to rely on our teachers through our actions. So all the preceding ones was how to rely on our teachers mentally through cultivating a good attitude. And now this is how to put that attitude into practice through our physical and verbal actions. So the first thing is to offer material. So this thing of making offerings to our teachers, it's something actually that is done for our own benefit. I mean, we usually see giving something to somebody else as it's for their benefit and I'm losing out. Remember, like we said in the prayer, we always feel a sense of loss whenever we give something away. But actually to remember that being generous is something that's for our own benefit. So there's a few different advantages for making offerings to our spiritual teachers. First of all, is that our spiritual teachers are very powerful karmic objects for us. You know, like, according to the kinds of relationships we have with people, then they can become more or less powerful karmically for us, so that any reaction we create in terms of them becomes weightier or lighter correspondingly. So if somebody is our spiritual teacher because of a very specific benefit and role that person has in our development, then any action we do with them creates a lot of very strong karma. So, you know, a little bit of anger creates strong karma. Also, making some offering towards them creates very strong karma. Yeah, so that's why, you know, in the meditation, you know how we visualize the field of positive potential, and we visualize our teacher in the form of Shakyamuni, and then we also visualize our teachers in their ordinary bodies too, and then we imagine making offerings and prostrations and offering the universe. This is, you know, a way of creating a lot of positive karma by making offerings to our teachers. And in our meditation, these are the mentally transformed offerings, but then when we have the possibility to make actual offerings too, it's good because it creates very strong karma. Okay? And so they say it's a way to create a lot of good karma quickly by making offerings. So in that way, it benefits us. And so that doesn't mean you have to make, you know, extravagant, lavish offerings so that you go into debt, you know, to your teacher. You know, you offer, according to your own ability. You know? And the most important thing when you offer to your teacher is to have a kind heart and a real generous heart, and to think, you know, I'm making this offering for the benefit of all sentient beings so that I can attain enlightenment. You know, in other words, don't think I'm making this offering because if I don't, everybody else is going to give me a dirty look, or because my teacher is going to wonder why I'm so cheap, or because I'm obliged to give something, or because I'm going to feel guilty if I don't, or, you know, any of those kinds of attitudes. But we should really have a joy in our heart, you know, and do it for the benefit of others, and then whatever material thing we're capable of giving, it would comfortably, then, you know, to offer that. Okay, and then the second way is to pay respect and offer service and help to our teachers. And so paying respect includes prostrating, or the Tibetan custom of circumambulating, you know, these kinds of formal ways of offering respect. If you're wondering what the circumambulating means, is it's the Tibetan custom to circumambulate holy objects, or, you know, very powerful objects. And so, like in Dharamsala, His Holiness's residence is on top of the hill, and then you have Namgyal Monastery, you have the main temple, you have the dialectic school. And then around this, you have a very, very large path. It takes about, I don't know, maybe half an hour or 40 minutes to make one loop. Maybe 20 minutes, depends how fast you walk. But many, many people, you know, circumambulate this, you know, because in the center you have His Holiness's residence and the monastery and the temple and everything like that. So it's a way, you know, of physically relating to holy objects in a beneficial way, and also getting some exercise. you know, this is something that's done. Okay, and then offering our service and help, you know, this is in order to really help our teachers carry out their projects, okay? So whatever our teacher needs help with, be it, you know, very simple things like cleaning their room or preparing their food, or, you know, helping other sentient beings. Very often our teachers will call us in, and, you know, because our teachers are busy, they can't take care of everybody, so they say, please take care of that person. I know many times my teachers have done that to me, and they say, you know, I mean, that's how I learned the Nune. One of the ways I learned the Nune practice was when they said, you know, I want you to do the Nune practice with this woman. So, you know, because she has cancer, she needs to do some purification, and so, yeah. So when our teachers ask us to do things like that, and we have that ability to offer service by helping others, then, you know, it's very good to do that. And so this is the real way in which helping others very much relates to helping our teacher. And offering respect to our teacher is done through helping others. Because, you know, the whole thing is that our teachers care more about sentient beings than about anything else. So whenever we help other sentient beings, you know, even though we don't get acclaim and recognition and everything like our ego wants, this is really offering service to our teacher because this is, you know, doing what helps further the Dharma and further the happiness of sentient beings. Okay? Also, just another point I forgot to say about offering material to our teachers. I mean, I explained it, first of all, in the sense of us creating a lot of positive potential, but also when we offer material, it makes our teachers able to do the things that they need to do to benefit others. Yeah, if we don't support our teachers, then they don't have the wherewithal to do other things to benefit others. Yeah, and so, you know, I've watched, like with one of my teachers, Lama Zopa, I mean, whenever he has the opportunity, he makes a lot of offerings, you know. When we went to Tibet, he had a big puja. He offered things to all of the people who attended, and offering at Kala Chakra, offering in Bodhgaya, you know, offering to the monasteries. And, you know, the only way he has that ability to make offerings is because his students offer to him. Yeah? And the only way he has the ability to go around the world and teach others is because his students offer him the airfare. Yeah? So, in actual fact, when we make offerings for our teachers, we're really giving them the ability to help other people. We're giving them the ability to come and teach us. Yeah? Because it works like that. Okay? So similarly, you know, here on the second one, when we offer our service and our help to our teacher, you know, because our teacher is a powerful object of our karma, then we accumulate a lot of positive potential. And when we offer service, you know, we're making our teacher able to benefit others. We're making our teacher able to benefit us. You know, because very often our teacher will ask us, you know, to organize things or print things or do who knows what. Yeah. And it isn't always easy. I mean, years at Copan, I remember our teacher, we would get jobs, you know, all the things that a meditation course is starting, and the night before it's starting, we have everything to do that should have been done 3 weeks ago, you know, and you're staying up all night trying to get these things done so that the meditation course can go ahead. So this is offering service. Yeah. And I remember in Italy when we were... This is hilarious. Rinpoche and Lama were arriving the next day and we were pouring the concrete on the floor of the meditation room the whole night before. Yeah. So, you know, it's like when you're offering service, you're preparing the situation so your teachers can teach. Yeah, and so that they can do the, you know, the work that's very valuable for them. And your teachers, you know, will give you all sorts of things to do. I mean, don't think that you're always going to get all the real nice jobs. You know, people love, you know, I want to be the one that makes tea for Lama. Yeah, because then I get to go in the room and I get to kind of hang out and pick up all the good vibes. so I want to be the one to offer tea. the new teacher, you know, tells you to go clean the dog kennel, or, you know, to go help somebody who's just turned up, who's flipping out, who needs somebody to sit with them all night because they're really flipping out. Or, you know, he tells you to go edit something so that you're up all night, you know, typing and editing and printing something. So, you know, we shouldn't have the idea that offering service, you know, is something that is this very glamorous thing. But it's really, I mean, as when our own minds are dedicated to practicing Dharma, then the mind offers service in a very happy way, no matter, you know, how inconvenient it is. But like I said before, you know, if something is just beyond our capability, then we have to be quite frank and say, I can't do that. So. Yeah, I remember Lama would always, you know, when most of us first came to Kaupan, we all wanted to meditate, okay? Because, you know, you meet the Dharma and it's so marvelous. All you want to do is drop everything and just sit and meditate. So you do, you know, you take a few meditation courses, you do a retreat, you're meditating, and then Lama sends you out to work in a Dharma center. And you're going, what's this all about? Yeah, because all of a sudden you have no time to meditate, and you're working with other people, and you're getting angry again, and other people are criticizing you, and you have too much work, and you're not being understood, and it's a big hassle, and you're sitting there, all I want to do is meditate. Why is he telling me to do all this? And then it finally hits you, you know, that this is actually a very skillful way of helping us to purify our negative karma, of helping us to get in touch with our own present mental state of mind instead of spacing out in, you know, our fantasy world of I'm going to get enlightened next week. Yeah. And it's also a way of offering service, and by offering service, really, you purify a lot of negative karma, you accumulate a lot of positive karma, you know, through just doing it, you know, and sticking it out, and going through the hardship, and checking up your mind while you're doing, you know, why you're doing this, and what you're doing, and why is your mind rebelling, and you just get a whole lot of information about your practice, and this really helps to purify. And then, I should tell you the story about, there was one monk, you know, who he went into retreat and he was going to stay in retreat until he got enlightened. And Lama pulled him out of retreat and told him to go do business. Yeah. And he did it. And he's still a monk. No, actually, he's leading the November course in Kaupan this year. But, you know, really, this was Lama's way of really skillfully getting him back on planet Earth so he could make some progress on the path. Huh? Okay, and then the last one is practicing according to our teacher's instructions. Okay, so actually, offering material is the easiest way to serve our, you know, to rely on our teacher. Offering our service and our time and our energy is the next step up, which is much more difficult. And then the hardest thing is to actually practice according to our teacher's instructions. And what this means is to practice the teachings that were given. Many times people misinterpret this point, and they think that practicing the teacher's instructions means only the things that the teacher tells them in a one-to-one interview, okay? So, or the thing that the teacher tells them directly. So if the, you know, your teacher says, please bring me a glass of water, then you go, that's my instruction, and you run off to do it. But if you're sitting in the class with, you know, maybe 1,000 other students, and your teacher says, develop a kind heart, then we think, well, he's talking to so many people, that doesn't apply to me. He's talking to other people, yeah? Or the teacher says, talking about abandoning the 10 negative actions, and, you know, and to stop criticizing others. And we think, well, you know, I'm not at the level where I can stop criticizing others, so he's talking to all these other people. So, you know, I won't even try and practice that. Yeah? So this is a wrong way of understanding this point, that following the instructions means actually trying to put into practice whatever teachings we've received from our teacher, no matter how many other people are in the audience together with us. Yeah, so we shouldn't think that following the instructions is just bring me a glass of water. It's all the instructions of this, all the teachings on the gradual path to enlightenment. That's what we need to practice. And it's clear, you know, when the whole reason our teacher is there teaching us is for our benefit. So the best way to repay their kindness is to actually put it into practice. Otherwise, what are they doing? Yeah, they're teaching, 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 and we don't make any effort to change. Yeah? So the best way really to show our appreciation for what they're doing for us is to put some effort forth on our side to try and practice it. And by doing so, I mean, this is definitely the way to improve our own mind. Yeah? We want to improve. I mean, that's why we're here to start with, isn't it? Because we want to improve, and so this is all done by putting it into practice. So, you know, it's really nice when you gain this kind of, when you feel like a heartfelt connection with your teacher, then even if your teacher's not around, you know, for example, I don't see my own teacher so often, still, whenever you're trying to put into practice something that they told you to do, you feel a connection with them because this is your offering to them. So this is the real way to feel connected with your teachers when they aren't around, is to do your best to put it into practice. Okay, but like I said last time, if some of the instructions are something that we can't possibly do, or if it's something that contradicts basic Buddhist ethics, then we should definitely explain that we can't do it, and why, and seek some clarification.